It is time, once again, for Getting to Know You for August 2023. Our guest this month is Kevin Doucet from Alabama. Be ready to be entertained as we welcome our host, Susie B.
Welcome, everyone, to tonight's edition of Getting to Know You. And tonight's guest is Kevin Doucet. I'm probably saying that wrong, a.k.a. Cat Daddy. And Kevin, welcome.
Hello, everybody.
We're going to get started by asking our basic questions. Number one, where were you born?
I was born in New Orleans, Louisiana.
Is that where you grew up?
Yeah, spent a good bit of my life there. I guess left New Orleans as a permanent resident when I was 13. Started going to the school for the blind, and then I, you know, went back into between summers and holidays at home and being at school for the blind in Baton Rouge, Louisiana, so I didn't go far.
Okay, that answers one of the questions, where you went to school. Is that where you started initially?
No, I started actually at Uptown Private. I was so dumb, I didn't even know I had an eye problem at that time. I went there. They started noticing that I was having trouble seeing in the second grade. And I'll stop there because I'm answering questions you haven't asked yet.
Okay, so in second grade is when you started to the school for the blind, right?
No, I was still in public school, and that's when they noticed that I had trouble seeing.
What was the vision problem, or what is the vision problem?
Congenital glaucoma.
Okay, is this the type where you have a lot of pain?
Yeah, it can be quite painful.
At any point, did you have surgery to reduce the pressure or pain?
Yeah, they did probably 4 to 5 surgeries to try to, you know, release the pressure and get rid of the pain and impede the loss of eyesight. But anyway, yeah, it worked somewhat.
Okay, do you have any vision at all now?
Nope. Not even light perception anymore.
Okay, at what age did you lose all the vision?
I was about 35 when I went totally blind.
So you had some vision all through school and when you first started working and all of that. Okay. In school, did you learn Braille right at the beginning or did you learn Braille later?
Well, whenever they noticed that I was having problems seeing and was losing my sight, they moved me from public school over to John Dibert Mainstream. It was a class for the blind at a public school. And that's when I started learning Braille and all the things that you need to know for being a blind person trying to cope.
So at that special class, they had all of the special things that you needed. Like sometimes people go to public school and they may get a little bit of help, but not much.
No, they, you know, we had Perkins Braillers and all that kind of stuff. Actually started off, they, I don't know what you would call it. It would look today if you would think of it as a spreadsheet, but it was just rows and columns and you had Braille cubes and you could turn them over to whatever letter and drop them in there, and you could actually spell things out, dropping them into that little form. I don't know if anybody else has experienced that particular type of torture or not.
I can remember the cube arithmetic slate, and they had these little cubes, and you'd turn them over, and it was just for, you know, numbers, doing your math. I don't think it got a lot of use. I don't think it was nearly as popular as they thought it might be. All right. In school, did you get involved in sports and other activities, music, woodworking, any of those type things?
Yeah. After I went to the school for the blind in Baton Rouge, I did the sports that was required. I never was all that much into sports. Although I was good at a couple of them, but it just wasn't my forte. So, but when it came to anything music, chorus, combos, and playing the drums, big band, stage band, jazz band. I was in pretty much all of that. That was where I felt comfortable learning and doing that.
Okay, I know you played drums. What other instruments do you play or did you play in school?
Well, they started me out on a trombone, and I never could quite figure out how you could push that slide out and back in and not choke yourself to death. I'm like, I don't think I feel comfortable with that. But I did play drums in school. Later on, I learned a little bit of guitar and a little bit of keyboard. It's just a little bitty keyboard, about 8 inches. Oh, wait, no, that's not right.
All right. And were you involved in music competitions? Probably so.
Yeah, our school, you know, did all the state competitions and that kind of thing. Other than that, not really competitive.
All right. Can you think of any activities or things that happened in school that kind of stand out in your mind?
Oh, yeah, but I don't think this is the right forum for all that. Oh, wait, you're talking about, I don't know what.
Well, just an event that may have happened in school. Maybe an award that you may have won or something.
When I was maybe ninth grade, I did win a Perkins Brailler that was awarded to me. Other than that, I don't know.
Wow, that's quite an award. When you were in high school, did you have any idea of what you wanted to do when you graduated?
Yeah, actually, I think I was in the fourth grade when I was still going to John Dibert in a special class, and my teacher was blind. Her husband was partially blind. On break one day, I noticed that there was somebody doing some odd, interesting things to a piano. And I went over there, and lo and behold, he was tuning it. And I stood there through my break like, whoa, what in the world? And for whatever reason, that really got my attention. And when I was in the 11th and 12th grade, I started thinking, okay, what am I going to do when I graduate? And I thought, you know, be a bum, that would be easy. No, probably not. So I thought, okay, maybe I can be a piano tuner.
Now, did you all have any exposure to piano tuning in school, like on Saturdays?
You know, we did not. Some other schools for the blind, I hear that they did that, but we had nothing like that, which is kind of odd and sad.
All right. When you graduated from high school, what did you do? Did you go to a rehab center to learn additional blindness skills or get a job, or what did you do?
Well, when I graduated, I I'm not in Alabama. You're not in Alabama anymore, Toto. I keep thinking that, but okay, I went to Alabama and I got into a piano class for tuning and being a technician. And it was a 2-year course. So I was in Alabama for quite a while doing that. I think 2 years is pretty close to how long I was there.
How did that go? Did you have good instructors? And tell us a little bit about the training.
Had two great instructors. Mr. Alvin Mostella was the head instructor. He was totally blind. And Wendell McMicken was the second instructor. He was partially sighted. They were great instructors, and I guess I got frustrated, I don't know, maybe 8 months into trying to learn piano tuning, because when you learn to tune a piano, you have to learn to hear frequencies and different frequencies against each other, how the sound creates sound waves and the beats and how to count them, and I'm like, what? So a person is not born hearing that is something you have to develop. And I was having a terribly hard time. So I told Mr. Mostella, like, you know, I don't think I can do this. Maybe I'll just stop the piano tuning part and I'll just be a technician. And he says, you know what, Kevin, just being honest, as a blind person, you will be able to learn to tune. You just have to stick with it. You will be able to tune better than 98% of sighted people. That's where you're going to excel. As a technician, you will never be as quick or as good as a sighted person. And I'm like, oh, crap. Okay, I need to rethink this. So he gave me really good information that made me rethink it. So, yep, I'm glad that he did that and made it through that. And piano tuning was where I was best.
Can you tell us about maybe two or three of your piano tuning experiences? Did you do this in people's homes or in schools, churches? What?
Pretty much all over the place. I went to people's homes, you know, and tuned a lot of pianos there. A lot of churches. That's some interesting stories that we can't get into. But I went to, you know, BJCC, the Birmingham Auditorium, tuned pianos there for acts that was coming in. I actually tuned a piano for Jerry Lee Lewis. that was a trip because he beat the heck out of the piano. Tuned a couple of 9-foot Steinway grands for, I can't even say their names, Frenny and Tasha or something like that. But yeah, there was a few named people that I tuned for just, you know, sporadically.
Oh, I remember that duo. Very, very good. Well, the good thing is when you were tuning pianos, that was when people actually had pianos. That was before the keyboards and whatever. I can remember a time when people were selling their pianos and getting stereos. I kid you not.
Yeah, unfortunately, piano tuning is pretty much a dying art. There are still sighted people with strobe tuners, and they do okay. But a good practice and learned ear can just tune circles around a strobe tuner.
Now, I think you have a particular like for a... Is it a spinet or a studio piano that you just really enjoyed tuning?
I tuned a few studios and consoles. Studios are pretty good. Soma actually was a really good brand. I tuned a couple of grands for, what were they called now? It was a Korean brand. I can't think of the name right now. But they were really, really good. They would stand up to a Steinway.
Oh, I'm just being facetious about the small piano. That you had to get in kind of an unusual position to tune it.
Oh, yeah, sorry about that. Yeah, I was tuning a spinet in-house with Forbes. I pretty much, you know, tuned pianos on different floors. And whenever somebody would buy a piano, they would take me to it and say, okay, tune it, make it sound good. I'm like, okay, I'll try. Because they were so terribly bad out of tune. A spinet is... It's a step above a toy piano. And the pins in the pin block are so tight that they will actually twist before they turn. I remember this one particular time, in order to tune it, when I was pulling up, because, you know, you hold the tuning wrench in your left hand, put it on the pin and you push up on it. The front of the piano was actually coming up off the floor, and I'm like, okay, I can't control the hammer with the piano moving, so I had to wrap my left leg around the front leg of the piano to hold it still so I could tune the daggum thing.
You probably look like somebody riding one of those horses in front of Walmart. Tell me about tuning a Steinway or a Grand. You made some mention of what it was like to tune one of those.
Oh, yeah. I tuned 9-foot Steinway. Oh, my God. They're made so exquisitely and so precisely. The strings are much better quality. Everything is so good. And I remember tuning the bass section. And a lot of times when you're tuning other pianos, they have overtones. Because they're not that good of a piano. And so you're trying to differentiate between the fundamental and the overtones. And but with this Steinway, whenever those bass notes finally rolled into unison, it was so good. It was like drinking chocolate milk. I'm like, oh, my God, I love it.
I love that expression. So how long did you tune pianos?
Well, let's see. When I first left... the training, I started doing it on my own, Talladega and surrounding areas for a couple of years. And then had the opportunity to go work at a small computer store in Birmingham, and I probably worked there about a year until they had to go bankruptcy, but then they still kind of hired me a little bit. Shh, don't tell nobody. And I was there probably another year, and I went to Forbes and tuned there for about a year, year and a half. So, I don't know, altogether not quite 10 years, but, you know, even after that, I was still tuned the occasional piano.
Okay, what is Forbes?
At the time, it was a pretty big piano company in Alabama. There was about three different companies. I worked for the one in Birmingham. It was five stories or floors or whatever you want to call it. They had the show front on the first floor. Sometimes when I had to go on the show floor and tune, it was very difficult because they got customers going all over the place and they had no respect and regard for somebody trying to tune a piano.
Oh, goodness. I can't imagine. All right. Let's go back to school. At what point did you get mobility training, or did you?
I don't want to go back to school. In school, we did no mobility training. It wasn't until I went to Alabama. I almost said came to Alabama. No, went to Alabama. And that was when they, you know, gave me some cursory O&M training, but not a whole lot, really.
Do you use a cane regularly?
Yes, I do. I find that they're very handy for tripping people.
Have you ever used a guide dog?
I did. Oh, I know where you go in. You're trying to fool me, ain't you?
Oh, no, because I don't remember ever asking you this question.
Yeah, once upon a time when I was living in Atlanta, my guide dog and I were a little bit late for work because the city bus was behind schedule. They always tell you, you know, mind your guide dog, watch what it's doing. Pay attention. And then sometimes they say, you know, okay, your guide dog is messing up, so you have to correct it. And we were about halfway through a very, very busy lobby. And my guide dog just totally stopped in his tracks. And okay, I'm late, so we got to go. So I dropped the harness handle, and with my left hand, I popped it forward. And I said, forward. And all of a sudden, I hear, ah! And I'm like, oh, no. So I kind of grabbed the, you know, dog and waddled off to the security station. I'm like, oh, what just happened? And like, you punched the lady in the hip. Oh, no.
Did you ever see her again?
Yeah, next morning, I made it through the congested lobby to the opening of the hallway, and I hear, hey, you, I'm the lady you punched yesterday. You hit hard. I'm like, oh my God, I just wanted to crawl under a table somewhere.
Well, this was definitely fall into the category of an embarrassing situation due to your blindness.
Absolutely. I hope there's none any worse coming up.
Okay. Do you have any hobbies?
I like talking on team talk.
Well, I am so glad. Do you enjoy reading? Do you read books? As a matter of fact, I think I heard that you downloaded a lot of books the other day.
Who told you that? Yeah, I like reading books. Bard is, you know, inviting people to be beta testers, so I got on there for the internet version. And I got on there, and I boldly saw music. Okay, so I started looking through music, and I was actually kind of looking for Cajun stuff, but anything folk. And I'm like, okay, I want to check this out. I want to check that out. I want to download that. Like 150 books. And I've only read like 9 of them so far, but it's pretty interesting stuff.
Oh, great. Do you read your books on your computer or on your library player, or do you have like a Victor Reader?
Mostly on my digital talking book player. I have gotten to where, with Cheryl's help, I'm starting to read things on my iPhone. Not really comfortable, but yeah, I am doing it.
Good. Right now, I know you're in Florida. Tell us about your apartment in Alabama, and you set up your recording studio and that sort of thing.
Well, I have, a few different things, got an audio interface in my computer, and a few microphones. But when I was living in a previous location, I had a living room that was pretty much for the sitting area for musicians. Then I had a dining room that was dining room den kind of thing. That was totally the live room. Had drums, mic'd, bass amp with mic, lead guitar amp, mic, couple of keyboards, everything. I had a complete studio with a snake going down the hallway to the control room, and that was where, you know, I did all the recording and stuff. So at that time, I was pretty much, you know, into it. Now I've kind of backed off, just doing a little bit of this and that, doing some singing and karaoke, and now that I'm over here in Florida, got to get a new system going, because right now I'm like, uh-oh, I can't do that.
Have you played with bands playing gigs?
Yeah, I've been playing with bands since I was 18. My first professional gig was with my oldest brother on Bourbon Street. And I thought, oh, wow! And it's been downhill since then. But anyway, I've been with, you know, several bands over the years. Blues, rock, country, a little bit of jazz, easy listening, gospel, even bluegrass. And they don't usually let you play drums, but I did. And there was one time, a buddy of mine contacted me, and he said, okay, they're wanting some people to come play for a Christmas, whatever, cantata, I don't know what it's called, in Atlanta. And he said, I'm playing bass, and we need a drummer. I said, okay, I'll do that. So they sent some people to come get me, and I went, and I don't even remember where we played. And I set up my drums, and while I was doing it, there was a string quartet from the Atlanta Symphony. I could see a little bit, and one of the violin players kind of looked over his shoulder and said, oh my, drums. Now, I didn't think of this at the time, but I talked to my brother Wayne about it. He said, you know what, you should have looked back and said, oh, dear, fiddle. But I didn't think of it.
Well, I used to know somebody from New Orleans, and they played in bands and stuff. And I said, well, what sort of places did you play? I said, oh, all the dives.
I was with a band one time. We went to a bar in Anniston. And it was known for being kind of rough. And so we played our first set, you know, hoping everybody would be happy. And myself and Kurt, the guy I was just talking about, that we played with the symphony there in Atlanta. We had to actually pick up the door and kind of halfway move it out of the way to go to the bathroom. That should have been a cue. But we went on in there and did our business. And there were some other folks in there. And we said, hey, how y'all like the band? They said, they sound like crap. We're like, yep, you're right, sure do.
Well, did you ever play at a strip joint?
Yeah, but not music. What?
Yeah, I knew someone who played with a band, and they played at a strip joint. He said there was nothing interesting about playing in a strip joint if you were a blind man.
Did I tell you the story about me going to a strip joint on Sundays in Arkansas? Please tell me I didn't tell you that story. You're not wanting me to share that, are you?
No. Do you want to tell us that story?
Cheryl says nay, nay. I say, okay. Okay, so in Arkansas, on Sundays, if you want to get a beer, you had to be a member of a club. And there was a strip joint not too far away. And some friends of mine said, yeah, we'll just go over there and we'll get a membership. We can go in there and have some beer on Sundays. I said, okay. And for whatever reason, there was a stripper went by the stage name of Radical Ruby. I don't know why, but whenever I would go in, if she was not on the stage dancing, she would come over there and take my hand and put it on her breast and say, you recognize me? I'm like, uh-huh.
This sounds a little bit like a Dolly story, doesn't it? Is there anything you would like to talk about that I haven't asked you about?
I think I've already said too much, actually.
I think I told you, in case I didn't, now the folks that are in here in the room, they have a chance to ask you questions. So hold on to your seat. If anyone should ask something that you really don't want to answer, or you find invasive, Just say, let's move on. And that's all you have to do. You don't have to answer anything you don't want to. So, gang, this is your chance because someone said they wanted to know everything. So, this is your chance. Question. Oh, if you ask a question, have your key down, and you hear someone asking a question, please let go of your key. Otherwise, he's not going to get a chance to answer. I think we'll have plenty of time for everyone to get a question in, but please only one question per person. We want to give everybody a chance to ask a question if they like. We may have time for a second question, but let's please play nice.
Kevin, I want to know, did you tell that stripper that you were a slow Braille reader?
I didn't have to tell her. I think she could figure that out.
And the question I had was a three-part, but I guess I don't dare to ask all of them. But I'm going to anyway. I'm sorry. But maybe Susie asked you, do you have any other brothers and sisters besides Wayne? And do you have any children? And have you been married?
I'm an only child.
Liar.
Wayne said he's glad.
Okay, there's no further questions. I'll have a good night.
Okay, back up. You didn't answer all of Terry's questions. It was a three-part thing, but it wasn't three different questions. So, you have just the one brother, right?
One brother, several wives, no kids that I can claim.
Other questions?
Kevin, who introduced you to VIP, and how are you enjoying the site?
You know, actually, I'm not sure. I was getting some emails over the years, and I would see different things about a blind group and this, that, and the other. So what actually happened, come to think of it, was I heard of Out of Sight. I got on there and checked it out. That was my beginning into, you know, getting to know all you great people. I don't remember exactly which email, but yeah, I'm glad I jumped on that and got to know you guys.
How did you get the name Cat Daddy?
A musician friend of mine, played with him quite a lot of years in different bands and whatever. Coming from New Orleans, there's a hat that they call a bebop, sort of like a golf cap. So I started wearing that when I was in New Orleans, carried on with that tradition. Being blind, I wore shades. One evening when that musician friend came to pick me up, I came down the stairs. He's like, Cat Daddy! And, you know, just it popped out of his mouth. And, you know, over the time, the years, and different bands, I just become known as Cat Daddy. I'm sorry.
Other questions?
Hi, Sarah Smile. Hi, this is Sarah Smile. How did you like living in New Orleans?
Hey, Sarah. It was okay. I didn't really experience a lot of it, really. We stay pretty much close to home. I know there's a lot of touristy things to do. We did go to Mardi Gras and all like that, but just really didn't get out and do all the touristy things, which is common. When you live in an area, you just don't get into the culture for whatever reason.
So, Kevin, how often do you pick now for a living?
Oh, my God. It's been years. Way before COVID, actually.
Hi, Kevin. It's Judy. I had the opportunity to hear you do a little drumming this past month. Not so bad if I say so myself. If you had the opportunity, would you join a band again and go playing out?
I would. I think that would be a fun thing to do. I haven't done it in a long time, but I would definitely do that. It's been so fun. I hope you have a good night.
Any other questions?
How old are you, Kevin?
I'm 99. No, I'm sorry. 66.8, I think.
Well, like I said, get your Bring It On Home to Me voice out.
Thank you, whatever you said.
And we're looking forward to you playing live in Missouri. And Kevin, I want to take the opportunity to thank you very much for volunteering to come in and for Susie to interview. Did a great job, and we're very fortunate to have you on the site. We've enjoyed you and your brother's company since you both joined.
I want to ask one more question because you mentioned something about you and your brother playing on Bourbon Street.
Okay.
Did you play music or were you just playing?
No, it was music. oldest brother Mickey, he played with a bunch of different bands. So he had a gig on Bourbon Street, and he was the drummer, and somebody else was the bass player, and somebody else was something else, and you know how that goes. So this particular night, the bass player had a situation and said, "Hey, I can't make it." So Mickey told me, he said, "Okay, I'm going to switch to bass, and you're going to play drums." I'm like, "Huh? Really?" And I was pretty much into rock at the time, and they were country. I said, "Okay, I'm going to try." And so we were up there on stage. We were doing a song called Luckenbach, Texas, and it has a bunch of breaks in it. And I'm like, "I don't know that song." He says, "Oh, I'm going to stand back here by you, and I'm going to tell you to stop, and I'm going to tell you to start." Okay. And it actually worked out okay. But it was a trip, and it was fun.
Okay, let's back up. You did not answer one of the questions that would. How many brothers and sisters do you have?
I don't have any brothers or sisters. Okay. It was four brothers. Me and Wayne are the only two left. You still there, Wayne? Maybe it's only me.
I'm still here. You haven't done away with me yet.
Is it true that your mother loved Wayne more?
It was true.
She did until I disappointed her, and then it was Kevin.
So I have a question. How many pieces traditionally are in a Zydeco band?
Matt. Quite you say, I don't know my neck. Never played Zydeco.
May I please ask another question?
No, I mean, yeah.
Sure.
That brings up another question, then. Do you know the difference between Cajun and Zydeco, and can you describe that at all?
I can do my goodest. Cajun, actually, Wayne would be better suited, but he's not being interviewed yet, so he'll fill in the gaps later. You are going to be interviewed, right, Wayne? Okay, never mind. So, Cajun, we came down from Canada and mixed with different cultures in Louisiana. There was French Canadian, there was American Indian, there was Spanish, and there was the black culture. So, okay, we got Cajun was predominantly Caucasian with whatever, you know, happened before they came to Louisiana. And then we had the Indian and the Hispanic and the black culture, and that is where the other two came from. As far as for the music, it's pretty much a amalgamation of the three. But anyway, it's interesting the way that they all blended into different cultures like that.
Any more questions before we wind this up?
Well, I heard about it. About you. Sounds good.
Thank you, Miss Patty. Glad you're here tonight.
I almost forgot about it.
I tried to.
Well, Kevin, thank you so much for allowing me to interview you. And yes, I hope to interview Wayne soon. So thanks again for letting us get to know you. And thanks, everyone. Have a nice evening. And we'll do this again next month.
Hey, everybody. I appreciate it. Really enjoy y'all coming and listening. Hope I didn't confuse you too much.
This has been a presentation of VIP Conduit.